السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهله بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight I'm going to discuss the issue of hijab. Many sisters asked me to speak about it. I know I've done this in the past, but tonight let's dedicate a few minutes to discuss the issue of hijab, and tomorrow the right of divorce for women. I will discuss it tomorrow, Friday night, inshallah. As to the first one, I have three parts. This subject is divided into three parts. Part number one, it's a question: is hijab mentioned in this book or not? And if it is mentioned, is it just a recommendation or it is a necessity? It's an obligation. This is one question. The second is, what is the meaning of hijab? Is it just a piece of cloth that women put on their head and that's it? Or it's about behavior, it's about morality, it's about an attitude. And the third one, how do we introduce hijab to our daughters, to our sisters? Do we enforce it by imposing it on them, forcing them, or do we teach them and encourage them? So now we come to the first part. Where is it in this book? It is in three different chapters, three different locations. First location, chapter 24, Surah An-Nur. It's mentioned in this book, in Surah An-Nur. Part of it, it uses the term khimar. And khimar, it's scarf. Khimar in Arabic simply means scarf, wearing a scarf, wearing kerchief or a scarf. And it says, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرُهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ. Women, Muslim women, should draw. يَضْرِبْنَ here does not mean strike, because ضَرَبَ has many, the verb ضَرَبَ has many meanings. One of them is to strike, but the other is to travel. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, to travel. The third one is to draw. To draw upon themselves, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرْهِنَّ, with their scarves, plural, عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ. جِيُوب in Arabic is this area, the breast area, the chest. This area is called جِيُوب. They used to leave it open, so Islam says they draw it on their head and their chest, this area. So this is one, Surah An-Nur. Two other verses in chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab. One is verse 53, and the other is verse 59. So check them out tonight if you go home. Check them out. Chapter 33 is Surah Al-Ahzab. One is 53, one is 59. In 53, God says, God uses the term hijab here. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. If you ask the wives of the Prophet, then you have to ask them behind a screen. من وراء حجاب. In 59, it says, يا أيها النبي. This is a directive. This is a directive. يا أيها النبي. قل, say, command, order. قل لنسائك, begin with your family. Because if you can't teach your family, you would not be able to teach others. You have to convince your family first. They have to be role model. قُلْ لِنِسَائِكَ, your wives. وَبَنَاتِكَ, and your daughters. ونساء المؤمنين and the women, the virtuous women in the community. قل لأزواجك, قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين, again يدنين, to draw down, يدنين, from دنا, to draw down. يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن, that they draw down their jilbab. And jilbab is what, my friends? Jilbab is the overcoat, or it's the outer garment that women wear, the cloak or the outer garment. Like mine, this is an outer garment. This is an outer garment. This is an inner, and this is an outer. And you don't want to see underneath, of course. You know. I have many layers, alhamdulillah. So, why, and the Quran uses a good philosophy, a good reason. Why should they cover up? ذلك أدنى أن يعرف أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. One of the reasons for hijab, one of the logical reasons, is that thus it is likelier that they will be known and recognized and not be disturbed and harassed. Quran is saying hijab is not just a piece of cloth. Hijab is an identity. It's like an ID card that you carry with you. That I am protected, I am honored, I am valued, I have a value. You cannot approach me indecently. You cannot speak evil or bad or harass me. I am protected. I have immunity, protection. This is exactly one of the main reasons that women must observe the hijab. So these are the three verses in the Quran, and they are directives. They are not recommendations. Some people tend to see these are recommendations. We may do them, we may not. Quran says they must. When it says it's a must, it's not recommendation anymore. It's a directive. You have to adhere to it. So it is considered part of the wajibat, the obligations, Islamic moral obligations. Now we come to the meaning and dimensions of hijab. Number one, why women should observe hijab? It's for their own protection, for their own maintenance, not just physical protection. There is something bigger than physical. Sometimes women are, you know, they master martial arts. They can defend themselves. But it's about moral and spiritual protection too. It's about their chastity. It's about their honor. And it will aid, definitely, hijab, an observant sister, a woman who observes hijab, it will aid to avoid negative attention and also negative temptation in the society. And what is, in my opinion, if you ask me to put hijab in one sentence, I will say it's an acknowledgement that we do not value women only for the sake of their physical appearance. Unfortunately, many societies today, the way they look at women and they grade them and value them, it mostly depends on their physical appearance. Mostly. But they don't look it through that skin, they don't look it through it to their characters, to their contribution, to their intelligence, to their sacrifice. They don't. They stop short of that. They judge them by their physical appearance. So if she has an attractive physical appearance, more likely she's going to get the job faster. I read a book written by a university professor. She's intelligent. She's very knowledgeable. She's a scholar. She said, I had a hard time getting this job because my physical appearance did not help me. I was not attractive enough. I go for the interview and I am turned down. And I know why they turned me down. God says we should not judge them by their physical appearance. Physical appearance is important. Physical beauty is important. But it's not everything about women. We don't love Fatima al-Zahra because of her physical appearance only. Neither Mary because of her physical appearance. We love them because of their sacrifice, because of their piety, because of their contribution, because of their intelligence, because what they gave to the humanity. So it makes a big difference when you look, at their intelligence before anything else, you're going to put them in the right place. You're going to appreciate them more. And in fact, many husbands, after marriage, they're going to love their wives more. Why? Because in the beginning of the marriage, he was attracted mostly by her physical appearance, by her beauty and attraction. He did not know her very well. But as they advance in age and they raise children and they stand together, they protect each other, they work together, they sacrifice for each other, he is going to find new dimensions of a beauty, moral beauty, spiritual beauty in her, human beauty. So he's going to love her more and more. So this is the second reason. This is the meaning of hijab. And my friends, sometimes some Muslim women, they think hijab is just a piece of a cloth. But I can speak whatever I want to say. I can mingle with people outside. I can go with men. I can dance in public. I visited some Muslim countries. I don't want to mention it. I don't want to hurt the feeling of people. But some Muslim countries. And I found some girls in hijab. Hijab from head to toe. But they dance in public with men. In a public square, Maidan, there is music there, and the music is very provocative, and they stand and dance. What is the value of hijab here? If you are not protecting yourself, if you are displaying your body to strangers in a provocative way, then what is the value of this piece of a cloth that you are putting on your head? So hijab, yes. It is garment. It is, as the Quran says, jilbab, khimar, scarf. But this is 5%. 95% of hijab is behavior, my friends. It's when you are able to control your behavior. It's a moral hijab. Moral hijab. Not only for women, for men too. For men too. Moral protection. We need moral protection. You have to protect your eyes. This is why in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, the Quran begins with this sentence. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Hijab begins with your eyes. When you cast down, when there is something provocative right in front of you, but you say, no, I have faith, I have God. I can look at God's beauty. And the same thing he says, to women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ. This is moral hijab. This is moral protection. This is the real protection. This is the real hijab. When you have self-control, when you don't allow yourself to watch, to see things, even if they sit right in front of you, you don't watch. You are protected. This is the real hijab. Many Muslim women, they observe the physical, but unfortunately, they don't adhere to the moral hijab. They don't adhere. Now we come to the third point and the conclusion. How do we introduce hijab to our daughters? It's very difficult in this country, in America. Very difficult. There are many women who are virtuous, who are pious, but when it comes to hijab, they tell me, it's very difficult for me to observe the hijab. I'm a working mother. I have to work. The other day, the lady here said, I work in a bank here in Irvine. And the manager came and he told me, you know, very, very, in a very obvious way. He didn't hide anything. He told me, if you want to continue with this, we're going to lose customers here. And my bank and my business is more important than you wearing, you know, a piece of cloth. So it is difficult. It is challenging here. It is challenging. It's not easy. It's not easy in this country for a Muslim woman to go out to study, to go to school, to go to work, to go into the street with full Islamic attire. It's not easy. But I said many times, maybe on the Day of Judgment, God is going to say to those observing women who observe the hijab, is going to say, I'm not going to look at how much prayers you did or fasting or charity. I'm only going to look at your hijab. And you deserve paradise because of your hijab. So how do we introduce it? Do we impose it? We should not impose hijab. I disagree. I disagree with societies that they say to women, you must wear hijab. You may say, you may wear hijab, not you must. You can't enforce it by pushing it down the throat of women. You can't. It backfires, my friends. Even with salat. If you want to teach your children to pray, do you carry a stick and run after them and tell them to stand here and pray? You don't do that. Maybe they will pray the first day. The following day, they flee. They leave the family. You would not find them. They would not be part of your family anymore. You lose them. So, prayers, hijab, fasting, pilgrimage, almsgiving, these are acts of faith. What does act of faith mean? It means that it is between you and your Lord. It's here in your heart. Number one, you have to be convinced that this is good for you. Whether it's hijab, whether it's prayer, whether it's mosque, whether it is anything else. You have to be convinced, number one. Number two, you have to fall in love with it. If you don't fall in love with the prayers, you are not going to deliver it in a productive way, believe me. One day Imam Ali came into the mosque. A man was standing and doing his prayers very fast. Very fast. Speed of light. Very fast. Allahu Akbar. And then ruku. Imam Ali stood there. He said, unfortunately, أَمَا لَوْ خَشِعَ قَلْبُهُ لَخَشِعَ الْجَوَارِحُ. If this man knows God by his heart, then his limbs are going to follow his heart. But because the heart is missing, the heart is not there. The heart is not with God. Therefore, the limbs are fast. They don't know what they are doing. Always our limbs, they follow our fast. My eyes follow my heart. My ears follow my heart. So if my heart is not focused on God, then my limbs are not going to be focused. So they have to fall in love with hijab. And we have to teach our daughters, our sisters, our friends in the society, the value of hijab, the merit of hijab, why hijab is important for her. I've seen many families when their daughters were 12, 13, 15, and they live in the family with their parents, they will put on the hijab. As soon as they go to college, different school, different city, the first thing they do, the day they register, the day they go to the first class, they throw away the hijab. What does that mean? It means when they were observing the hijab with their parents, it was not real. They were not convinced. They were looking for an opportunity. Once they go somewhere else, without parents' supervision, they throw it away. Because they were not convinced in it. Because either the parents did not do a good job to convince them, or maybe the parents, they did. But they have personal choice. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ The Prophet says to, God says to Prophet Muhammad, what does he say to him? أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ Do you want to force people to accept faith? You can't do that. You can't. You may teach, you may encourage, you may remind, fadhakkir, keep reminding. But don't use violence. Don't use harsh words. In some societies, the way they look at women, they judge them by this piece of a cloth, which is very wrong. So if she has it on her head, she is Maryam, the Virgin Mary. But if she does not wear it, then she is something else. She has no worth. It's not good. Not good. Many women, they don't wear hijab, but they have very good relationship with God. And they need time. They need time. Let's not outcast them immediately and say, you have no place in the society. You can't come to the mosque. You can't enter this building because you don't put a piece of a cloth on your head. This is not good. This is going to backfire. And we've seen that. Leave them alone. Give them a freedom of choice, but with education and encouragement. Keep reminding. God says to the prophet, remind. One time, twice, three times, 50 times, 500 times, until one day. But remind them gently, not harshly. أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة. Use wisdom and a beautiful admonishing. والموعظة الحسنة. Keep reminding, one day they will accept. One day they can overcome this barrier. One day they listen to their Lord. One day they receive the call and they change. These are my 2 cents about hijab tonight. And tomorrow, I'm going to discuss a subject that also many sisters asked me. Sometimes there is a divorce. And you know, rite of divorce is mostly, not entirely, mostly with men. So men divorce their women in the court here, superior court, but when it comes to religious divorce, they don't grant them religious divorce. Why? So they can take revenge. They can torture them. She cannot go and remarry. He goes and remarries, but he does not allow his ex to remarry because he wants to punish her. And many women say, come on, where is my right? Where is my right in Islam? Does Islam agree with this? Or it doesn't? The answer, we hear it tomorrow, inshallah, night. You agree with me the iftar was delicious tonight or not? Very delicious. We hope we have the same iftar, inshallah, until the night of Eid. The reason I was able to yell and scream now because of this Zereshk Koloba Murg. Tomorrow Salat al-Jum'ah is at one, inshallah. And remember, my friends, mark your calendar. The first night of Qadr is going to be Sunday, inshallah. This coming Sunday is going to be the eve of the 19th. And the first night of Qadr and the night of the injury of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimin wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat innaka mujibu al-da'awat innaka ghafiru al-khati'at. O Allah, accept our fasting, our prayers, our supplications, our Quranic recitation. O Allah, forgive us. Forgive our sins. We have lots and lots of sins. We want you to forgive as you promised in your book, as you promised through your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this month is the month of forgiveness. So we are waiting for your gift. And the most precious gift that you bestow on us is the forgiveness, inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.